Hallelujah. Glad to be in here with you tonight. We're live around the world on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel of the South. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the 2 Kings tonight, our text taken from the 20th chapter in the first verse. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, Thus saith Yahweh, set your house in order, for ye shall die and not live. Well, how would you feel if someone came to you and informed you that they were sent by Yahweh to tell you that your heart wasn't right, and because of that, your life is about to end? How would you like that? Well, the heart of America, it seems that America is sick. We know that in the last days it said there would come a falling away. But blindness has happened to Israel, and we certainly can't blame Israel for being blind. Now, I know this is going to sound strange, it's like a paradox, but Yahweh's people are purposely, by Him, blinded to suffer. We're just like blind Israel. Samson would be a good example when he went down and he played in the devil's playhouse, fell for the beautiful things of the world, Babylon, the beautiful woman in the wrong barbershop. You know, we're caught playing with the devil. We compromise our standards of Christianity and our risen Savior, and now we can't even speak it in a public assembly. We can't do that in school. Too many pagan people, godless, antichrist people, have come into America to take away our liberties and freedom. The Bible said they come in to spy it out. Well, once they find your weakness, they go for the Achilles heel of Christianity, and they've done it. They have succeeded in letting the remnant, which is Israel, blind Israel now, like Samson, he's blinded for his ignorance and foolishness and stupidity. Well, the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Samson, a very strong man, but weak in the spiritual mind. Now, Hezekiah was alarmed. I mean, he took this serious when he fell sick, and the prophet. Now, Hezekiah was appointed by Yahweh to be a leader. And you know tonight, all of Yahweh's remnant are leaders, both male and female. There's not a male or a female in the kingdom anyway. And so you take the opportunity, if you have the wisdom and knowledge, woe is to you if you have it and don't use it. And pity you if you don't have it and fail to hear someone come to you and don't receive it. It'd be better for you to never hear this message than to hear it and not obey it. So, you are a leader. You are his witnesses. And yet in this sin-laden country, you see, I know you feel hopeless. I know financially we are hopeless. Like I've been preaching and teaching the last couple of messages about the poverty of Yahweh's people. We're poor, wretched, and naked. And most of it is because we have gotten lukewarm. And you know what happens to a people that become lukewarm? We're spewed out of his mouth in disgust. Right now, Yahweh wants you to shine the brightest. It's like the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. What's wrong with you? Where's your voice at? Where's your zeal? Where's your purpose? Where's your direction? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And he said all this would be added unto you that the Gentiles seek for. Oh, yeah, they watch their stock tickers. They check their 401k. Their daily checking what the money market's doing. They know more about those things than they do about Yahweh. And it's reverse. Yahweh said, you know about me first. Come and learn at my feet. Let my prophets and my witnesses hear what they've got to say to you. Well, I don't like old so-and-so. He's so arrogant. They didn't like Isaiah when they cut him in two. Some of the things that I'm certainly old Hezekiah didn't like him, but I'll tell you one thing. He took him for what he said as a prophet. He knew that he was called by Yahweh to lead his people when he was healthy. To seek Yahweh in the days of youth when you got strength. When you're old and your strength begins to wane, you've done got your time and you've done got your treasures laid up. You've earned your retirement. Yahweh's going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Don't be alarmed. When the going gets tough, the tough is getting going. And you know, it's just like Caleb. He went up on the mountain, fought the giants when he's 80 years old. He said, "Give me that mountain." Well, here, after the conquered land of Israel, and then Yahweh's people begin to prosper and wax rich. I mean, they got to trading with the enemy across the borders. They got to riding around in their chariots, wax fat, their children disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. We got that. Our whole nation, our textbooks, our curriculum has been changed right under our nose. More and more of Yahweh's people are now homeschooling. They are resorting to having to homeschool. You know why? Because the Christian church has set by. We are a viable force. We ought to vote the scoundrels out. Well, every time we do, they come back in another form or another fashion as wolves in sheep clothing. And so we believe our politicians. They lie to us every election. They promise us everything, and they don't deliver. They're liars. And you know who taught them that? The greatest liars in the world has infiltrated the United States of America and took over. We are now encased by unbelief, by anti-Christ, people that literally hate our risen Savior. They despise him. They won't serve him. And they're going to make damn sure that you and your family would pay a great price if you do. Now, we know that Hezekiah was challenged even in his time of sickness to still serve him. And because he got sick, was an excuse for him to drop out of the arena. But it looks like he just laid down on his pillow and give up. What are you doing with your life? Are you standing up? Well, I went to the polls and voted for this Democrat or that Republican. And you wipe him out and say you've done your duty? Why don't we form as people that believe in a risen Savior, why don't we form a party? Have you ever thought about that? But you can't get religious people. And this is how the devil divides us. We fight. We're so busy out here trying to win people to our church, to our building, to our way, and not Yahweh's way. Yahweh wants you to turn to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things are going to be added unto you in righteousness in the matters that pertain to you in your life. David said, I've never seen a righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. He's going to hide you in the storm. He fed Elijah with a raven. You know, I often wonder what kind of food. Now, here's Elijah. He's a prophet. He's a great man. He prayed and the heavens were shut up. And when he reincarnated, I know it's going to make a devil mad when I say that. When Elijah, the prophet, when he came back in spirit as the prophet John the Baptist, John came neither eating or drinking, and the people of that day said he was a devil. Well, here come the Messiah eating and drinking, and they call him a glutton and a winebibber. See, they have no discerning power of righteousness. Christ said of Elijah, John the Baptist, who was the Spirit. Now, that's what Christ said. If you're going to take an issue with this, go to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew and check it out and see if the body of John the Baptist that was separated from his head was separated from his body because he stood for righteousness. This nation, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin will bring it down to hell with all nations that forget him. Have we forgotten him? As church people got so lukewarm and indifferent and separated from the government. See, they say, well, we believe in separation of church and state. Where is it that we, our founding fathers, meant for us to drop our values, to quit keeping his covenants? You know what's wrong with the Christian people? They're so damned bent out of shape that they're damned. Now, you can get damned well bent out of shape when you fail to keep Yahweh's commandments. If you say that you love him and you won't keep them, you're a liar. He told us to keep ourselves unspotted from these heathen. Now we're letting them in by the droves, and there is a liberal hidden agenda by the socialist communist to bring these type of people, the strangers, the aliens, into our country and to acquire it by a political force. They'll outvote you at the polls. If you have one child, they're going to have 20. They're going to gain superiority over you. Our white women they've been exalted by the devil. They pull their clothes off, strip naked, and will lay with anything in the land. I'm telling you, it's pathetic of the pornography and the suggestions that your enemy, who claims to be, by the way, God's chosen people, these are the evil ones lurking in the darkness, masked behind righteous as God shows the people. And the most gullible people in the world that support it is the dumb ass Christians that go to Sunday school and listen to Billy Graham and these false prophets as they have established that the Mount Zion Jews are God's chosen people. And that's not true. We're blind. Pathetically blind. Hezekiah was so sick. Yahweh still expected something from him. Just when he got sick, he just gave up. But let me tell you what made him sick. Maybe you don't know. He showed all of the treasures of the house of Yahweh. the nation, its economy, its secrets of prosperity. He showed it to the enemy. They came as ambassadors, and he invited the bastards, the aliens, the perverts, right in to the main palace of his kingdom and surrendered all the secrets of prosperity to the enemy. And that's what's happened here. We have been hoodwinked, led astray by those who claim to be and are not. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so sad to see our country in the shape it's in. Today in Christianity, anything you can chase and drag onto the altars, they smack them on the back, let them sign a church card, and start collecting tithes, and they literally don't care what happens to them after that. You can join the whatever group. But the Bible says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he only that does the will of the Father. Now, what's the Father's will? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Make no friends. Don't let your daughters and sons marry and intermarry with all this trash that's coming in here. It's sad. Oh, man. Where is the patience? I am so impatient. I'm so saddened. My heart breaks every day. Just go to a public gathering and see what's going on. Look at it. Your own people. As they're mixing and mingling and miscegenating their flesh, ruining their futures, that's their offspring, because they haven't kept themselves pure and unspotted. And Hezekiah got the command, set your house in order. You ain't pleased me, boy. Well, as a type, I ask you, I beg you, are we pleasing our Creator today? When the waves of the sea are roaring, earthquakes in diverse places, hailstorms all over the place, drought, a famine, hot weather where it should be cool weather where it should be hot, vice versa, raining when it ought to be snowing and snowing when it ought to be sunshining. It's amazing. Can you see what I see? Somebody's house is not in order here. You say, well, it sure ain't me now. As for me and my house, we're all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. If you're all right, how many people have you told that's not right? When it claims or when it proclaims that you are his witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am the great I am. Have you ever told anybody? You even shudder at the thought of having to stand up before somebody, let alone witnessing, especially in the great name of Yahweh. Well, it's all right to run out here in these false names. What's he going to say when he comes at his coming? Is he going to be that sweet little Jesus? Drifting down with the clouds and all the saints, you know, rapturing around up in the air and coming down with him, and you'll see all of that going on as the preachers are preaching. Well, let me tell you something. Let me remind you that if your house is not in order, he's coming back highly pissed off. He's coming back with wrath. A sweet little Jesus that you've heard about that couldn't be angry at nobody. Well, bless God, he said himself, I will come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know me not, and those who refuse to serve me, those who got sick like Hezekiah and used it as an excuse to quit serving me, those who invited all the enemy into my land, those who changed my beliefs to a way that seems right, I am coming back to slay them, every one of them, who's not kept the faith and who denied my name. We can't even speak his name today without being criticized. You certainly can't go to a Christian church and preach the name that I preach. You can preach any other name but the name of Yahweh. What's going on here? The house ain't in order. Something needs to be done with the house of Israel. Judgment begins first at our house. We got to set our house in order. We got to repent. We got to return to Yahweh. Don't expect the Antichrist crowd in America to turn back to Yahweh. They hate him as bad and passionately, and probably even more so than they hated him when he was here in flesh. They realized who he was. They knew that they were the enemy, and the Messiah, that sweet little Jesus that everybody sings sweet Jesus about every Sunday, in John 8:44, why don't you give them a dose of that one? Oh, that would be too offensive, and I wouldn't dare to offend nobody. Jesus didn't offend nobody. Oh, hell, he didn't. He made so many people mad at him in such a short time, he only lived 33 years. And he only preached for the last 3.5 years. And so at a minister's age of 30, he became a priest. And for the next 3 years, he'd give them hell. Now you may think that he's that sweet little Jesus playing on his little harpy and loving everybody that you can chase and drag and pull onto the church parking lot. And it's all right for all this miscegenation and mixing and the aliens coming and eating us, eating up our land like grasshoppers and caterpillars. You know one thing, when you see wars and rumors of wars and you see all of these earthquakes and famines in diverse places, when you see all these strangers coming into the land, why don't you reread, if you've ever read it, and I doubt it. Oh, we're not under that old law now, Pastor Buddy. You're so... See, that's your problem, Pastor Buddy. You're so involved in the old covenant. Yeah, that God over there, he was angry. But haven't you heard? He's not mad at nobody no more. He loves everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest out-of-order house any church, any organization that preaches that he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever is denying the Holy Writ. And be ye not deceived, for whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow against Deuteronomy chapter 7, you're going to reap the rewards of those people, your fathers, to whom we are paying for their sins. That's why we're blind. That's why we're oblivious to Yahweh's laws and covenant, and we go along with this little sweet ear-tickling, I love Jesus, and Jesus loves everybody. Man, Muslims have a better understanding and more righteousness than we do as Christians. No wonder we waxed so poor and barren and lukewarm is because somebody has come in and taught us, oh, you shouldn't hate nobody. And here we come, full of dead men's bones, dragging our dead, sick carcass like Hezekiah, trying to make an excuse when Yahweh said, get up and stand up like a man. Set your house in order. Now, what's he going to say on day of his coming?
Sweet Holy Spirit.
You hear these choirs, and they sing so lofty, and everything seems so fine. Have you ever said, repent or go to hell? I looked in the heavens and I saw a man. His robe dipped in blood. His sword welding upon the heads of them that would not obey him, slaying everything that's not like him. That's the one that's coming. Not the one you've been taught and pampered and spoiled with, but the one that will exact judgment and be sure that your sins find you out. Because he bears not the rod and the sword in vain. He that knoweth much, much shall be required. For Yahweh will beat you with many stripes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so out of shape that it's pathetic. Luke 16:13. No man can serve two masters. Even he will hate the one and love the other. Now, you love that little sweet Jesus that loves everybody? Or do you love that God of wrath with a sword in his hand in the last days? Not talking about in the old days when he wielded the sword and killed anything that breathed that wouldn't honor him. And his people was the first one to get it. He had no respect to persons. They that broke Moses' law died without mercy. Yeah, but we got little Jesus now, and he's give us the right to go ahead and just whatever we are, be a good and go to the church of our choice and say, sweet Jesus. And then we read the scriptures where it says, fear me. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Or reap the Hezekiah consequences because he didn't have his house in order. We're all going to die. But it'll be for sure, it'll be an eternal death if you ain't got your house in order. If you love Yahweh, hate evil. Did you know that David was so filled with hatred against his enemies that he even prayed to Yahweh this prayer? Pray it with me. Father, through your precepts, I get this understanding that you don't love everybody. And neither do I. I hate every false way. I hate the children of the wicked and the false ones. I personally will myself dash their heads against the cobblestones. And I will rejoice at the fall of the satanic forces which are trying to sow the tares among the righteous wheat. Because they're not vigilant. Because they're not militant. Because they refuse to take up the swords. Because that they buckle down. Well, we're supposed to love everybody. Well, why don't we get out of Iraq? Your government, who hates Yahweh, will conscript you, train you to kill, send you in the mission of the United States for its security abroad to kill and to steal and to wound for big money corporations and things of this nature, and you call that acceptable? When you yourself, in the name of the Creator that told you to separate yourself and come out from among the people of the world and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, no wonder David was loved and a man after his own heart. We have gotten so cold and our house out of order, our own thinking is warped. Well, you say, well, what do you suggest I do? Get me a 50 caliber and go kill them? No. You better not pick up no 50 caliber. You better fall on your knees and do a 50 caliber prayer to Yahweh. Fire your desires up to Him and seek His face. And then He'll hiss for the honeybees or the hornets. Did you know that we have a plane in service to the military? It was made popular by the British Israelites, called the Hornet. The cotton picking thing will fly straight up and it'll come set down on its tail. It's an amazing piece of machinery. Yahweh Himself could create enough hornets without you ever picking up a 50 caliber. And I don't care if the Chinese army and all their 100 million men came over here. Yahweh could create 10 billion hornets to sting the living hell out of them and drive them from our borders. Swell their eyes shut that they wouldn't even recognize you if you were standing in front of them with a sword, which possibly you might have to do one of these days. But don't take any thought for your life on how you can, you're John Wayne. You're going to ride right into the enemy and ride out in the sunset. You're fooling yourself. It is the righteousness of those who have their house in orders that are going to have the ability to chase 1,000. I'm telling you, Yahweh can create a sound in the mulberry bushes. Yahweh's got the power to change your enemy and drive him from your shores. Righteousness is the key to this. By setting your house in order. My heaven, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do in the day of darkness? It ain't even got here yet. What are we going to do when this world's on fire? With the oppression of the time of Jacob's trouble, according to Jeremiah 30:7. What are you going to do then if you're sick and weak now? What in the living hell do you think's going to happen when the real deal sets down? When the real trials? You see, old Satan has got you to thinking that you ought to be a pacifist. Just sit idly by and twiddle your fingers and ho-hum and be lukewarm. That's the devil. Our preachers are full of satanic sympathy for the devil. Well, you know, you've got to admit that, yeah, they don't believe like, yeah, they won't accept our risen Savior, but, you know, you just have to go along with it. God loves everybody. I don't care what kind of faith they are. Ladies and gentlemen, they ain't but one faith. If it happens to cross yours, you're in big trouble in the day of judgment. If you love Yahweh, you become a set-in-order disciple. We say, nobody gonna like me. There wasn't nobody liked him. If he was so sweet and lovely and gentle and so kind, why did they hate him and despise him and false accuse him and even murdered him? I'll tell you why. Because he told them the truth. You, the witness, the set in order, people of Yahweh, you shall know this, you shall hear this. Now, I'm not talking for you to be violent and evil and cut everybody's head off you run into. You can't gain friends till you show yourself friendly. If you can't make peace with your brothers,
we're still warring against our brothers.
We can't even have peace among ourselves. That's how the devil has got advantage, because he's so discord. This little group is jealous of that little group, and this little group over there has got a bigger church than that little group over there, and we are so divided. No wonder that the devil's laughing all the way to hell with the souls of our children. If you don't believe it, go to the malls in any city that's big enough to have a collection place where the young children hang out, and just take you one good, set in order look. You've got enough work just to regain your children. But before that, you can do that, you got to gain yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. If you can't save yourself and set an example to your children, as for me and my house, David said, I'll serve Yahweh, and the enemy, I'll dash their heads against the stone. That was his mentality. Not this Christian, sweet Jesus junk. I'm thankful that you believe in a risen Savior. We can argue about the name, but I'm not taking you to task over that tonight. I'm taking you to task because you've got the wrong concept of what His mission was. His mission here was not to bring peace. And boy, how they holler! Oh, He loved everybody. Yeah, sounded like it. On the Money Changer series, I did 5 hours on that, and He didn't love nobody except them that loved Him and kept His commandments. Do not save riches or lay up treasures for yourself here on earth, where moths and rust destroy and robbers break in and steal. Instead, save your riches for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and robbers cannot break in and steal, for your heart will always be where your riches are. And where's yours at? Is your house in order? Are you running for the almighty dollar?
I got to have something to live on.
Yahweh said, take no thought. We're busy trying to store food, and our bellies is hung so far out of our belt, we look like silly clowns going to a rodeo show. We are mentally fat, but spiritually poor. It's not a famine for bread. It's a famine for hearing and obeying the word. He's coming back with a sword. Set your house in order. It's not about what you wear and what about you put on or what about you eat. Although the Bible said if you be a glutter, to put a knife to your throat if you be given to appetite. If we would do what Yahweh said, separate ourselves from the world, come together, pray, seek His face, turn from our, not theirs. It's the other crowd that's wrong. It's not us. We got to start. Judgment starts with us. Don't grab you a 50 caliber and buy boxes of ammo, which ain't a bad idea. Because people are being literally having to put bars, iron gates over their doors and their windows, and sleep at night with a gun, and still are not safe. I'm going to tell you, don't depend on the police to save you. I mean, they're off trying to make a dollar on the highway to catch some poor man that's trying to make a living, has to work 2 or 3 jobs, run up and down the road, and he's 5 miles over the speed limit, and he thinks more of taking his vengeance out on speeders, and he has people trying to break in your home. If you shoot somebody, you better drag them in the house. Because you shoot somebody outside the door, and they're going to get you for murder. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Hebrews 13:5. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret because of those who prosper. Better is a little with the righteous than to live with the abundance of the wicked. But your priorities right.
Well, I just can't support Yahweh in that message. It's so rough and so hard, and you're so arrogant.
Honey, if you think I'm arrogant, you wait till the big guy gets here. Talking about arrogant, when He says in His Word, bring those who would not, that I would serve or be served by them. Bring them here and slay them. Oh my. All the little children in the Sunday school class are going to say, Mama, you didn't tell me that Jesus was going to kill everybody. And Mama's next in line. He's got no respect of persons. You better harden your faith. You better encourage yourself to stand as a witness. You better make your preparation and your treasures, put them in the right place and your priorities, and quit trying to show off over to church or drag somebody in there and deceive them and tell them a lie. When this world is going to hell, with all nations that forget that Yahweh is a God of wrath. And He's coming back in wrath. He's not coming back peacefully. If He is, we better rub that out of the New Testament. In flaming fire. Whew. Flaming fire? Uh-huh. The world's going to be burning in flaming fire. And He said, I didn't come to bring peace. What if this division's already kindled? I just come to stir it up. I come to get your mother against her daughter, vice versa. A father against the son, vice versa. He ain't come to bring peace. He come to bring division. What kind of division? The division of purpose. In a spirit that can go out and launch. As opposed to these little sick, weakly spirits like Hezekiah, who just sit there and all humped up and dried up. And by the way, come over here and see what the Lord's done for me today. We got the biggest church on the block. Spiritually, they're sick like Hezekiah. But God, when He got the call from Isaiah, who later on got the sword from his brethren. It wasn't the enemy that killed old Isaiah. It was his own brothers with the women throwing rocks at him. Look what they were doing to old bald-headed Elisha. I mean, the children were mocking him and throwing rocks at him every time he'd go through the community. He'd have to put up with it. One day, he was in a pissed off mood. And when those little children came out and started hissing and taunting and mocking and throwing their rocks, this great man of Yahweh, who had been patient, who had been kind about his father's business, turned around and with a wrath clenched his teeth. His bald-headed head flushed red with anger and hate. And in the wrathful moment, by cursing these children, out of the woods came a bear. Oh, mama bear. robbed of her cubs. Angry. Teed off. And 42 children met the master of the Sunday school class. It wasn't too kind that day. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be a man or a woman and stand up. If your church ain't teaching the truth, get out of it. Stand alone if you have to. Better to live with a few righteous than to dwell in the house with abundance of many. First Samuel 2:7. Yahweh sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and He exalts. Paul said, I've learned to be content. Not a man in shoe leather ever suffered for the gospel like the experience of the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was literally hated and beat and left for dead, stoned. Tried to drown him. I mean, the devil was really ticked off at Paul. You know why? He was spiritually well. He wasn't sick. He wasn't laying and languishing in some bed of ease, studying at some university, getting his doctorate to see how smart he was. He's out there in the trenches preaching and teaching the righteousness of Yahweh that brought the wrath of the devil. Now, the question is, which one of the wraths do you want? You please the devil and you'll get the things of the world. You please Yahweh and the world will be against you. You serve the devil, he's going to make it easy for you. Marvel not if the wicked prosper. Remember what it said there? When the going gets tough, are you ready to go? Go to your knees. If you're such a big, bad dude, don't drag out your guns and oil them up every day, although you ought to have some oil on them. Don't let them rust. Go to your knees and say, Father, forgive me and my family for participating and for not crying out with all of my heart to see our nation out of order. We're going to reap a whirlwind. And it's going to piss somebody off in the heavens. And the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat at the anger. You talk about Elias when he was reddened in the top of his bald head. When there was so much anger, they come up and his blood literally boiled. I'm telling you, we ought to have the passion of Elisha and Elijah. And Moses. And Gideon. And Joshua. And Caleb. The Messiah himself, that little sweet Jesus, he planted the cords because he was discouraged. He went in there and they were selling stuff and he got angry and but he didn't really mean to hurt them. You mean to tell me that when he comes back in vengeance, he ain't coming back in peace, he ain't come to bring it. And he ain't coming to bring it back either. There ain't no peace to the wicked. How can you say he's coming back in peace when there ain't no peace to the wicked? He's coming back in vengeance. You better have your house in order. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take more than a Sunday school visit to get your house in order. Turn from your wicked ways. Get on your knees where you're taller than trees. Place a request. Curse your enemy. Say, Father, send the bumblebees. Father, send the sword. Father, Send famine on all nations that forget you. Send a curse on everything that will not acknowledge you in Washington, D.C. These devils that walk around in three-piece business suits trying to please the rich and the powerful and the elite because they've sold out for filthy lucre and they love the things of this world. Whose damnation is just. That's what the Bible said. Their damnation, not their blessings, but their damnation. Damn every nation that forgets Yahweh, that He rose from the dead at the hands of the wicked that killed Him and tried to destroy Him and said, away with Him. We'll have His possession. He's coming back after a people that's kept the faith and hadn't denied His name. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that we are in a time of trouble? Mark 10:21. The rich young ruler, after he said, "Why have kept all these things from my youth up? I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't bear false witness. I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind, strength. I don't covet anything. I keep you Sabbath." Yahweh said, "You lack one thing yet. Sell everything that you've got. Sell out. Quit." I'm sure he was a businessman. I'm sure he had an appointment book, and he probably couldn't even wait for Yahweh to finish his sentence because he had a business deal going probably down at the local bank. He's gonna stand to really prosper. Marvel not. And he walked out and forgot what manner of man he was because he loved. Although he had done all these things he said, but Yahweh said, "You lack one thing yet. Are you going to let one thing knock you out to receive the wrath of Yahweh upon you and your family? You're in charge. You're responsible. As for me and my house, you're responsible. Do you love Him? Are you going to serve Him? Are you going to call on Him while He's near? While He can be found, are you going to repent? Are you going to your knees? Are you going to say, 'Yahweh, you told me to gather at Passover, and I think I will.'" "Well, yeah, but Yahweh, it's so far, and you know the journey is so long, and it costs so much these days to serve you. It costs more to serve the devil." And you'll get that understanding soon enough. The devil and his angels will tempt you to break Yahweh's laws and His covenants. Do this in remembrance of me. Forget Him? "You forgot me," he said. "I was naked. I was in poverty. I was hungry."
"Well, I never did see you."
"Inasmuch that you didn't keep what that rich young man didn't have. He wasn't willing to sell out. He was interested in getting ahead. You got to have reckless abandon to serve Yahweh. You got to have faith. You can't sit around piddle your fingers and twiddle and take Rolaids and goody powders. You ought to be about your Father's business. Be up and at Him. Let your witness count. Your face is desired and needs to be at Passover somewhere. You don't have to be at ours. We don't have room for you anyway. Make a commitment to Yahweh. Keep His festivals. You'll learn something. Everything that I've learned in the way of righteousness, I learned it from watching my brothers and listening to them. They didn't come to the feast empty-handed. They had something in their heart. And you sit around long enough, you might, you know, lift one of them little jewels out of their crown and put it in yours. Now, I know that lazy, pitiful servant that wouldn't serve him,
well, I don't think I'll go, it's going to rain. I don't think I'll go, it's too far. I don't think I'll go, I ain't got time. I don't think I'll go, I'll miss a meal.
Wouldn't hurt you to miss the every meal for a year, but don't miss the one he told you to keep. That's the day of Passover and remembrance. Now we're going to break the bread. We're going to lift it toward heaven. We're going to take the cup. Well, some people say, oh, that's wrong. You're supposed to do that. Glory to God. They get fringy about that. You can't even have a meal with people without them getting pagan panicked. It's a shame that we're so low down and sorry and sick and out of order that we can't even come together, brothers, with grit and backbone and desire and in spiritual health. Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die. Luke 14:33, and I'm fixing to close the route here. None of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you've got. It belongs to Yahweh. You hold it back. He'll get it. Sooner or later, he'll come around and a big bill will pop up that you never did think about. Yeah? You let Yahweh, you left him in prison. You left him poor in poverty. You wouldn't give. You wouldn't support. You go right ahead. Yahweh will have a day for you. And he'll meet you in a time that you don't think. When things are going real good, you'll step out into the way and you'll meet the line. And he'll be in a bad mood. Praise Yahweh. All right. You're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight. Tonight is Friday night. And we'll be on tomorrow night. And I'll be live, Yahweh willing, at the Hallelujah Acre Festival site. I'm going down tomorrow to be at the festival site, and we got work to do. I'm going to put up the tent. Yeah, an old-fashioned tent meeting. Going to get the old foot pans out. We're going to make sure everything's in order. The brothers and sisters are going to gather around. They're coming from miles around. Praise Yahweh from many states in the Union. And we're going to gather up and remember him, just like he said for us to do. We're going to lift the cup and fellowship with one another. We're going to break the bread and kill the lamb and have us a dinner and say, Yahweh, we're not sick like Hezekiah. We've got our house in order. Praise Yahweh. Now, I'll be on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That's the early call. I'll be live at Hallelujah Acres. And tonight we're sponsored by Dr. Gary. That's 1-877-289-7439. Come and be with us, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll love you, and we'll see you there. Hallelujah.